If you have your Bibles, please turn to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. We're going to be looking at one verse, and I'm going to put it in context so that you understand what's happening. And this is a very important verse as we talk about the chosen generation. And we're going to be covering today about fighting injustices that we see around us. You know, when we think about the different injustices around the world, we wonder to ourselves, what is going on in this world? Is there anything that we can do? Some of you kind of know some of these things that have been happening around the world. And one of the things that you know is that there's a huge refugee crisis that's going on. And it's not just happening in the Middle East, but everywhere you see there are issues of refugee, people getting killed, people who are suffering and who are trying to seek asylum. And you look at this on the news, you look at some of these things that are going on around the world, and it's easy to distance yourself because it's not close to you. It's not something that affects you. Some of us in this room might not know, but there's a large refugee population even in Hong Kong. And I realize that some of us are so insular, we're so isolated from everything that's happening in this world that we can get up in the morning and do whatever we want to do and live our own lives, and we forget there are different crises around the world that God's heart is breaking after, and we forget and we fail to see. Another thing that you will notice is, as you know, there's a whole hashtag Me Too movement. There's a massive rape culture in India. Some of you probably have heard some of the cases of even little girls as young as like 8 or 9 years old being raped by men. And for various reasons, some sociologists look at it just in terms of the caste system. They look at it how women are oppressed or suppressed in this country. There are so many different issues that, once again, it is so distant from us that we forget that these are some of the things that break the heart of God, these injustices that we see. It's only until we know someone who has gone through something like that, sexual abuse, when it becomes a little bit more personal. But some of us, we don't know anybody, or you might not know, but they're sitting next to you. And it's so easy to say that this doesn't relate to me. Another thing you will notice is the whole slavery, human slavery situation. It's going on massively around the world. Sometimes it's masked in different ways. But the things that we buy, the things that we do, continues to fuel the human slavery situation. And even in some of those most worst conditions that you will see of little kids working, child labor, and human trafficking, and even human sexual trafficking. We're talking about people who are being trafficked for sex. Once again, these things seem so distant from us. But if you open up your eyes, I'm guessing some of us will maybe see that, wondering, what if that karaoke bar that's even here in Hong Kong or some other countries in Asia, that there's some of those activities that are going on. Another thing that you will notice here is the whole racism. And a lot of it is coming off from the States with the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK. And some of the marches that they have, that's one of the beautiful things about America. You could have some of the worst views, but you have the freedom to protest. You have the freedom of speech. I don't think something like this will ever happen in this side of the world. They will be suppressed. But that's the beauty of America, in the sense of you get to speak your mind or whatever you want. And not all of it is good. We understand that. But when you think about some of the racism that is blatant, and it's easiest to say, oh, like those people are always racist. But there's a lot of racism in our own hearts. Certain types of people. Certain people from certain backgrounds. Certain countries. People that we might have been hurt by. Or racism that has been passed down from generation after generation. You've heard it from your parents who said, you better not marry someone from that particular group of people. And we have racism in our hearts because there's sin in our lives, and it's easy to just ignore some of those things. Another thing that you will notice is poverty. Literally, we get up in the morning and we eat freely and just buy whatever we want to buy, and we totally forget that there are millions of people who cannot eat. And you can see it on their bodies. And I'll be the first one to confess, it's easy to look at it and say, oh, that's pretty bad. But we do nothing. It might move us for a moment, but it doesn't move us towards action and towards change. I think sometimes we ask God if he really cares as we look around all the situation that's going on in the world. And also, some of us can get very overwhelmed as we think about all that's going on. And we're saying, God, are you listening? Are you there caring for the injustices that we see around the world? But I think the greater question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is simply, do we care enough to do something about the situation? I think it's always easy to point out the injustices, especially when we're watching the news or when we're looking around and we see things that are going on. It's also very easy to get upset about it. But it's a complete different issue to actually do something after you feel what you feel. I think the most telling thing is what we do about some of the lesser, if you will, injustices. Injustice is injustice no matter what. But there are some injustices might not have the magnitude that you just see here, but we see injustices every single day. I think one issue that is happening and that is increasing around the world is bullying. There are some of you right now in this room that have been recipients of being bullied growing up. Whether it's taunting, physical abuse, whatever it might have been, it probably was in your elementary or junior high, especially in high school. Some of you know the pain of going through even the issue of bullying. Some of us are not the recipients, but we are the ones who gave the bullying to those other people. And a lot of it is just, we just don't know because we haven't been on the other side. And so I thought it was interesting because Burger King, how many guys like Burger King? Amen. For whatever reason, it always tastes better outside of America. But anyway, Burger King decided to address this issue of bullying by making a video that really shows the apathy and the indifference of people. Now, let me just kind of give you a little bit of a background on this so that you understand what's happening. What they wanted to do was they wanted to combat bullying. And so one of the ways to do that is show something that is so ridiculous that it will wake people up. So what they did was this. They said, would you pay attention more so somebody being physically bullied before your eyes or a junior whopper being bullied? Now, some of you are wondering, how can a junior whopper be bullied? Well, you got to watch the video and then you understand what they're trying to communicate. And I just want you to watch the reaction of the customers, especially when the junior whopper was being bullied. So let's watch this together. We are more concerned about our Whopper Junior being bullied than a high school junior being bullied. This is what the world has come to. And all I can say this morning is this is not the heart of God. And that is not the heart of God either. Or God is saying, yes, what you're saying is correct. I think it's so easy to point out the injustices around us, but then do nothing about it until it affects us. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that this morning before you leave, some of these things will probably never affect you. You could literally live your life until you die and never affect you. But I'm praying that we will touch the heart of God and understand his heart. And God will touch our hearts so that as the chosen generation who are called to bring this gospel message to every nation, every person, every society into this world, that we will illuminate the love of God, the light of Christ, so that we will take some steps and actions we can do something about the injustices around us. The Merriam Webster's Dictionary defines justice as this: the maintenance or administration of what is just, especially by the impartial adjustment of conflicting claims or the assignment of merited rewards or punishment. The second part of that definition is the quality of being just, impartial, or fair. The third part is conformity to truth, fact, or reason. But the problem is that many of us, we try to understand what true justice is about. And as humans, because we are so sinful, we just do not understand clearly the justice of God. It's not just about fairness. It's not just about making things right. But part of understanding the biblical meaning of justice, or the justice of God, we have to look into the character of God. That's why, according to the Eastman Bible Dictionary, listen to how they define the word justice in the biblical sense. It says this: that perfection of his nature whereby he is infinitely righteous in himself, and in all that he does, the righteousness of the divine nature exercised in his moral government. Justice is not an optional product of his will, but an unchangeable principle of his very nature. When we think about justice, it's not how the world thinks about justice. It's not about someone did something to me, so I want them to experience the same thing, and so we could be fair. True justice, you have to understand, it is rooted in the nature of God. It's who God is. Therefore, if you know God through Jesus Christ, it is innately something in part of us that we need to be able to engage in, because God is a God of justice. That is his nature. That is his character. And so therefore, if we are followers, that we need to love the things that God loves. We need to hate the things that God hates. We need to be able to fight for the things that he's fighting for as he tries to bring the message of the gospel to the world. It simply means that God is the ultimate righteous one. Everything that he does is just and right. This is why the concept of justice is associated with righteousness. If you do a word study, you will always realize that those two words oftentimes come together: justice and righteousness, because it's rooted in who God is. Throughout the Bible, we see so many of these references of loving the orphans and the widows and those who do not have a voice in a marginalized society. He talks about loving justice and to loving righteousness. And that's part of who he is. That's why anyone who is made in his image is being taken advantage of. Or those things, whether it's systematic or systemic, or whether it is something that a person does to somebody else, it should affect us, because it breaks the heart of God. Here we are in our third part of our Missions Month series called The Chosen Generation. If you remember our first part, we talked about the importance of proclaiming the goodness and the greatness of God. That is something that we are called to do. Just sharing our lives of how God has been good to us and how great he is. We're experiencing more of who he is. The second part, we talked about how we are chosen to break the generational patterns in our lives. Some of you have continued to live according to this pattern, but we're saying, because you know Jesus Christ, we're literally breaking that generational pattern in your generation, so that as you get married and have future kids, that will be a whole new destiny for the future. So today we're going to talk about how we are chosen to fight for God's justice in this world. So let me give us the one thing. The one thing is simply this: that we must fight for what is right in order to bring God's light into the world. That we must fight for what is right in order to bring God's light into the world. I'm just going to highlight two things in this one verse, and hopefully you can see it as we think about fighting for what is right in order to bring God's light into this world, to shine brightly and to do something for his glory. The first thing is this: that we must address our excuses. That we must address our excuses. Let's go ahead and read Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And I'm just going to read the whole verse and then I'll just reference to it as I mention some of the other points. Listen to what it says. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. I want you to just kind of look at that for a moment. And before we can really understand the power of this verse that the prophet Micah was speaking to the Israelite people, you have to understand the context in which the command was given. In chapters 3 through 5, so we're talking about in the beginning of this book, you notice that the prophet Micah condemns the leaders of Israel, even though it seemed like everything was going well. Things were going well for the people. Things were going, just externally, it looked like things were going well. But God calls out the people because they were complaining about how serving God was a burden, both emotionally and financially. They're like, oh, do we have to keep on serving God? Do we have to keep on doing these sacrifices? Do we have to keep on doing all these things? Why are there so many laws? Why are there so many requirements that God is giving unto us? See, this is something that I realized, that it's so easy in the midst of things going so well that oftentimes we then get into this complacency and then we wonder to ourselves, God, why are you putting all this stuff on us? Things are good. And that's why in Micah chapter 6, verse 3 to 5, just a little bit earlier, you will notice that God asked the people, how have you been burdened? Remember, God never asked a question because he doesn't know, all right? He's God. God asks a question in the Bible to help expose their hearts. So he says, how have you been burdened? And God had to remind them in verses 4 and also in 5 that it was God who carried them. It was God who was burdened to lift up these people out of slavery. It was God who loved them and helped them. It was God's goodness and God's greatness that allowed them to experience the blessings and the prosperity even to this point. Then in verse 6 and 7, it was Micah who speaks, and then he's a bit sarcastic. I don't know, maybe this is my sinful side, but I love sarcasm, but I'm trying to change that a little bit. But here's Micah with a bit of sarcasm, and he asks what it will take to find favor with God. And he brings up this whole issue of sacrifice. So he says that if God really wanted sacrifice, dudes, hey guys, listen up, he says. SKV, Seth conversion. Guys, listen up. If you really think that you're so burdened because of all these sacrifices, if God really wanted your sacrifice, then he says, well then, I would have brought 1,000 rams. Maybe 10,000 rivers of oil. What he was saying is this, are you crazy? You think he's so concerned about sacrifices? If that was the case, you would have brought all this stuff. No wonder you feel so burdened. Oh, poor you. He doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants your heart. And that's why Micah understood the heart of God. It wasn't so much the sacrifices, but the Israelite people forgot what God really wanted was them. The people were so content putting their confidence in just doing the rituals, just doing enough. But God wanted a change of heart and the change to be reflected in their obedience. Isn't this just like us? We operate just like the Israelite people, which is the human paradigm. It's all about works. If we think we did enough, we just go, okay, that's enough, God. Don't ask for any more. Or what we do is because we're in deficit, because we've sinned or we did something bad, we're like, okay, God, I'm going to go to life group. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. It's all works mentality. That somehow you think by being good, doing all the religious things, obeying God and all that, somehow it's going to make you right before God. But look at the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ reminds us that no one is good. The cross reminds us it is because of your sin and my sin. That was the only way that we would be saved, is through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why the cross was so vicious, so bloody. Because blood had to be shed. Not all these righteous, self-righteous sacrifices that we lift up to God. That's why in verse 8, as we have read the first part of it, the prophet Micah says that God already told you what is required of you. See, this is a ploy of a lot of people who just don't want to obey. We also go, oh, did you say that? Oh, you, Christina, you wanted me to take out the garbage? I think I might have been halfway sleeping when I heard that. Oh, you wanted, oh, that's what you wanted. Oh, I didn't know. So I didn't want to make a mistake. I didn't want to cause undue harm. So I didn't do anything. Oh, you said 8 in the morning. I thought it was 8 at night. That's why it's good, just a little side note, to use military time. 0800 or 20. But listen to what the prophet Micah was reminding him. You know, God already told you. Where? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 through 13 is one of them. Listen to what it says in the Amplified Version. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God, here we go, everyone say it, require from you, but to fear and worship the Lord your God with all filled reverence and profound respect, to walk, that is to live each and every day in all his ways, and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, your choices, your thoughts, your whole being, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. And if you would just read a little bit later on, you'll realize that he's like saying some of those things are looking after orphans and watching over those who are foreigners or those who are sojourning around in your life. He gives specific things. He has shown you what God requires of you. So whatever excuses that you are giving, here is the prophet Micah saying it is no longer good to give this excuse, because he did reveal it to you. He clearly showed it to you. Even before you went into the promised land, even before your forefathers, your father before you and their father before them. Now we have to be clear that it's not just one person, because some of you are like, oh, I'm a woman, says an old man. Right? Oh, okay. All the women's like, oh, thank God. It's you, old man. You have to understand, in the biblical sense, when it says old man, he's talking about all of mankind. All of you. You Israelite people. And even for us. He has shown you, old man, what is good and what the Lord requires. One of the things that I'm realizing is it is always easy to make things more general than to be more specific. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like one of your prayer requests, Lord, help me to just love people. What does that mean? Well, that means that because you're struggling with just showing God's love to somebody, that you're just asking God to love people. Lord, help me to love people. See, it's always easy to do something more generally and do nothing than to love that roommate. Help me to love Bob. Because now you have a name to a person you have to love. Lord, help me to be a servant. But help me to be a servant to Bob and Sue. Mr. Sue. It's always easy to think that someone else will take care of an issue or situation rather than seeing God calling us to do something. Also, we have to make it clear that by mentioning that God says what is good, The emphasis on good is more practical and moral rather than something that is just uncertain or philosophical. See, a lot of the things that we see in scripture, it's a very practical thing. That's why we have a bunch of people in the church who are Christians, who have so much knowledge. They love studying theology. And there's nothing wrong with studying theology. I love studying theology. But they love studying theology. They love talking about doing the right thing. But you look at their lives and you realize they don't do the right thing. You can know a lot about God, but you don't know God. And that's why when he says, you know, oh man, what is required of you and what God wants from you, that is good. It's not this good in this nebulous sense, but it's good in the sense you know it. It's an everyday practical thing. I love C.S. Lewis, just one of the greatest thinkers in this century. And in the 20th century, one of the greatest writer, prolific writer, in his book, Mere Christianity, if you are seeking in this room and you want to read a book that kind of confronts some of your misunderstandings about God or Christianity, I want to encourage you to read the book, Mere Christianity. If some of you have friends who are pre-Christians or those who are seekers, get that book into their hands. He says something that it was very profound as he talks about thinking about who God is and is he really just or is he, I look around in the world and all this unjust things. Listen to what he says in Mere Christianity on page 31. He says this, my argument against God, because he was an atheist. So my argument against God was that the universe seemed to be cruel and unjust. He probably saw all the pain and all the issues of life. And he's thinking, if God is really there, why isn't he doing anything? You talk about this God who loves me, who loves the world, but look around you. Look at all the stuff that's going on. He continues and he says this, but how had I got this idea of just and unjust? A man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line. This is apologetics 101. Oh, good stuff. You know what I'm talking about right here? This is it right here. What was I comparing this universe with when I called it unjust? If the whole world was bad and senseless from A to Z, so to speak, why did I, who was supposed to be part of this show, find myself in such violent reaction against it? A man feels wet when he falls into water because man is not a water animal. A fish would not feel wet. Can I get a good amen to that? Of course, I could have been given up my idea of justice by saying that it was nothing but a private idea of my own. But if I did that, then my argument against God collapsed too. For the argument depended on saying that the world was really unjust, not simply that it did not happen to please my private fancies. By you saying that what some of these things that you see around the world is unjust and it's wrong, there must be something inside of you being made in the image of God that shows you that there's something right. Can I get a good amen to that? Amen. That's why when we look at God, we see who he is in his perfections, in his ultimate righteousness, and his justice. And we have no excuse. So when we look around the things around us, we want to say, well, that's kind of this. Or like, God, yeah, why are you doing all this stuff? And it's easy to sit there and do nothing and make excuses why we can't do certain things. But what he's saying is this, no. You know deep inside something's wrong. Because that's not the way it's supposed to be. And therefore, God is speaking to us. So no more excuses. The question is, what are you going to do about it? What are some excuses that we're making before God to not address some of the injustices that we see? What things is God trying to address even in our own personal lives? I think one of the things just out of my own confession is I realize that I just want to be comfortable. I don't want to be inconvenienced. I realize how self-centered and how selfish I am. And it's so easy to not allow things to get in that way because I want to control my own life. And that's why engaging in some of these things and issues in this world, like we just, I don't want to do this. I'll never forget, somebody gave me a DVD of this movie called Nefarious. It's a documentary that talks about some of the human sex trafficking that's going on in Cambodia and Southeast Asia. And so it's a bunch of people who really had a burden for this, and they wanted to bring it to the forefront by making a documentary on this. And I'm like, okay, thank you, you know, and then kind of put it somewhere in the office or just in the home, and it was just sitting there for a while. And my wife and I, during one of our date nights, we didn't want to spend any money, so we just said, hey, let's just watch this movie. That's how you save money, okay? So let's watch this movie. So we popped in the DVD, and we're watching this. And from the first minute, it gripped me. We're sitting here watching this documentary, and the whole time my heart was just like pounding. The point of climax in this movie, for me at least, was when there was a picture of a pajamas of this little girl who was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and there were bloodstains on the pants because a man penetrated her just as a little kid. And it gripped me. And you know, after the movie ends, when all the credits go up, we're all like, okay, it's time to go. Like, my wife and I, we just sat there and we just could not move. And I remember just that day still, I mean, we're like, we got to do something. And I honestly, my heart was so moved. I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what to do. So this is when we just brought this issue to the Lord in prayer. And as we began to pray and intercede, God started doing something in my heart. And I realized that in our church, there were people who God was already speaking about this issue of human sex trafficking. So as we gathered some people together, because we just did a showing of it, and other people were moved as we're talking about reaching out to different social issues in this world, we came together, we began to pray, and those people who had a burden for this, and we started this whole thing called Liberty Mission. And not only that, but we took a step further and we said, we want to somehow see on the ground what's happening and what God is doing. So we actually ended up going to Cambodia with a small team of people. And we went and we visited some of these places, and especially one area where these kids are being rescued. But literally about a week later, they're being put back into those situations where they're having sex, forced sex with these men. And the person who was kind of walking us through this, they were telling us, what can you do when it's their mom who's putting her back in? And I realized that this is a systemic issue, that it's not just rescuing these girls, but we're talking about you have to re-educate even the whole family because there's such poverty. Because of poverty, they realize this is the only way we're going to survive. We're going to sacrifice our daughter. And it literally opened up my eyes, and I realized, God, we got to do something. I'm just wondering what excuses we make when we see or when we feel the heart of God. Oh man, the Lord has already shown you what He requires of you. What is good? The second point in closing is we must not only address our excuses, but we must act on our responsibility. That we must act on our responsibility. The prophet Micah clearly and specifically gives three requirements that God demands from His people. The first one is to leverage justice, to do justice. Other translations of do justice means, the New Living Translation, do what's right. Or the Message translation, it says, do what is fair and just. What God wanted was not the sacrifice of animals. You gotta listen to me carefully. What God wanted was not the sacrifice of animals. And even Micah reinforced it. If God really wanted sacrifices, I would have brought 1,000 rams and 10,000 rivers of oil. What God wanted was not animal sacrifice, but the sacrifice of our lives that reflect the heart of God. No wonder, even in the book of Romans, in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it talks about that in view of God's mercies and all that he has done, the way he has shown you his love, the way he has been patient with you, in view of all that, in light of all this, because you've experienced it, in light of all of God's mercies, to offer yourselves as what? Living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. For this is your spiritual act of worship. He doesn't want our sacrifice. He wants our lives. So we got to leverage the things that we have and the abilities that we're able to do and to do justice. The second thing that we notice here is not only leverage justice, but to love kindness. The word kindness is the Hebrew word chesed. You will see this word over and over again in the Old Testament. It means loyal love or covenant love. It is a love that God had for his people. And oftentimes we don't understand this love because we're human. But a covenant love simply says, even if you fail, even if you wrong me, I will continue to love you. That's why there are so many broken relationships, because we don't have this chesed love, because we're not like God. He wants us to become more like him. But it's always conditional. You did this to me, so I'm going to do this to you. Or you didn't allow me to whatever, and so I'm going to just ignore you. You hurt me in this way. I cannot forgive you. We don't understand fully the love of God, the grace of God. That's why it's amazing. That's why it leaves us flabbergasted, dumbfounded. We don't know fully this love, but I'm praying that we will more and more. This kind of love is reflected, if you just pause for a moment, God's love for us. That's why it is an active word that conveys action. It's something that we do. Therefore, when we're committed to someone, then we will do everything and anything to help them. This is why the concept of mercy is oftentimes translated or used in connection with deeds. So here, the prophet Micah is talking about doing justice, leveraging it to do justice, love kindness, and the third thing is live humbly. The word walk, as we see here, to walk humbly before your God, it's the same word as to live. The word humbly describes more of something that we do. That's why it's better translated as make yourself humble to walk with your God. Now listen, this is important. It is not about making ourselves humble, because as you know, we can't make ourselves to try to be humble. But rather, it means that if you know who God really is, then the way you live will reflect this humble submission to God. It's literally, when you are walking humbly before God, it means that you are submitted to the will of God. That's why when you understand how good he has been to you, how he has shown you kindness, if you remember and think through how he has shown you his covenant love, his loyal love, if you think about how many times he has forgiven you, if you think about all the times that he has been patient with you, then what he's saying is this: you will be grateful. If you think about all the ways that God has just poured out his life and given so much to you, then you will be generous. It's not about trying to be generous and then experiencing more, but Because he has been generous to us, we can be generous. Because he has been patient with us, we can be patient with others. Because he has loved us unconditionally, we can love people unconditionally for the glory of God. The humbling part of all this is that God demonstrated what he required of us. Let me kind of bring this to the focus. God prophesied about his perfect justice and righteousness that was coming. Let me give you a couple verses. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 4 and 5. Listen to what it says in the NIV. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arms. Here is the prophet Isaiah speaking in the words of God, and he's saying God's justice is going to come. Salvation is on its way. Psalm 146, verse 5 through 9. Listen to this carefully. But joyfully are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. Verse 7. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoner. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigner among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plan of the wicked. So he's giving this prophetic word that there is going to come a time, because he's doing this, he's raising up people who will do these things. But you know that what he was looking forward to was a time when Jesus Christ will come and bring perfect justice. That's why if you look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 21, you will see that Jesus appears and then fulfills this ultimate justice of God by dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 21 in the NIV. It says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." So this is Jesus reading the scroll from Isaiah, which is this very scroll that we talked about. And then he says this: "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him, and he began to say to them, and listen to what he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Everything that was prophesied in the Old Testament about God's justice coming to make everything right, because he's the ultimate righteous one. He was talking about Jesus Christ. And as soon as Jesus opened up the scroll and he read it, which was very similar to what was prophesied in the Old Testament, he closes it, he puts it, he gives it to the attendant, he sits down and he says, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled." That Jesus Christ is the one that can bring, the only one that could bring the ultimate justice. And that's the beauty of the gospel message. That every single one of us, you and I, we have sinned against God, against a holy God. And because God is just, he has to punish sin. That's why the wrath of God is upon us. In order for him to be just and holy, he cannot excuse sin, but he has to punish sin. But because he's so loving, what did he do? He sent his one and only son to come and die on the cross, to become the ultimate sacrifice. The Bible talks about how he was a lamb led to the shears, led to the slaughter. The Son of God, the Lamb of God, who knew no sin, had to suffer and die for the sins of this world, for your sins and my sins. So that when he shed his blood on the cross, God's perfect justice was administered. Because he was holy, he had to punish sin, which made him just, but he was loving. So we weren't the ones who died on the cross, but his son, which shows you his hesed love. And I'm wondering this morning, those of us who are sitting there and you're thinking, I know this message. I know the gospel. This Jesus, what he has done for me, brought perfect justice into this world. Because he paid the price of the injustice. So now, as we understand this as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we take this message, this light that is shining brightly within us. We take it to different parts of society and in our world, whether it's your workplace, whether it's your neighborhood, whether it's in your school, and you say, here's the hope that you find in Jesus Christ. And everything that is wrong with this world, we have an opportunity as followers of Jesus Christ to feel and to know the heart of God and to communicate that as we begin to love other people. That's why the one thing, once again, is that we must fight for what is right in order to bring God's light into the world. For our next steps, we're going to actually do it in our life groups. Those of you who are probably the covenant group, you already had your life group this past Saturday. I want to encourage you to also do this, but find some other ways to do it so that we can all do this as a church. They're going over the series on parenting and families. But for all of us who whatever we study on Sunday, we try to follow through this coming week in life group. We're going to do this together as a life group. And I'm praying that God will use this just as a springboard to other things. I would love it that if somehow out of this, God will start up different ministries so that we can live out this calling of justice here in Hong Kong. The first thing is this. When you get together in a life group, we're going to encourage you to start interceding for an issue of injustice in this world. So once again, the leaders will lead you this coming week, but we're going to spend some time in prayer. We need to start interceding and asking God, Lord, this is your heart. And then sometimes we have to wait and listen. What is it that God is trying to do? And what is he speaking to us about? Because there are so many injustices that we see just here in Hong Kong. Like, God, what are we, not thousands of kilometers away, but right here in Hong Kong, what are some things, God, that you're showing us, that you want us to look at? Because this is your heart. So you're going to spend some time in intercession, intercede for the different injustices, issues of injustices in this world and here in Hong Kong. The second thing is this. We're going to ask you to initiate an outreach to shine God's light. I don't know what it is. In fact, sometimes the means or the mode of doing it is, but it's actually obedience. Like some of you have just heard, I don't know how many of you have heard, but there was a recent suicide or attempted suicide in HKUST. In graduation, can you imagine where there was hundreds of people during graduation and that person decided to jump right there in front of everybody? Like, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on any of you who go to UST, but I'm going to tell you right now. Like, it's a wake-up call. That every single day, even prior to this incident, there's every single day, there are people who are walking in your classrooms and throughout the halls and throughout campus who are hopeless and they're feeling the sense of hopelessness. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. And it's so easy for us to get consumed with our own studies and our own business and our own projects and our own little things that we are called to do when we forget that there's a world that do not know Jesus Christ because they're in sin, and we're saying, God, open up their eyes. Use me. Here I am. I hope it doesn't have to be another incident in any of our campuses that are represented here for us to wake up and say, God, there are people who are lost. I don't know what it is. Maybe one of the things, just idea that popped in my head is that we have this whole thing called You Matter, hashtag You Matter. We talk about issues of suicide. Maybe you guys could come up with something, even on that campus or other campuses, where we're going to reach out to students, especially during the finals time. So what I want to see is that sometime before you leave for break or before this year ends, we as a life group, we're going to engage in some of the things that we see around this world that we're saying, this is not the heart of God, but this is. And so we want to demonstrate that for you. Some of you know that there's a whole section in Hong Kong that is very impoverished. People are living in these cages. And so even this morning, as I was kind of remunerating some of these things in my mind, as I was getting ready, I was just thinking, wow, what would it be like? I understand that some of these impoverished areas in Hong Kong, you got to speak Cantonese. Some of you are like, I don't even speak Putonghua. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even speak any language. I just know English. Like, what are you going to do going there? Leo. You know, what are you going to do? And I'm wondering if in some of your groups there are people who are local where you can actually go to some of these places. And you know what? You might not even be able to communicate with them. But just do something. Bring a package with no strings attached to let them know somebody's thinking about them, even though they feel like no one cares. Is it going to be inconvenient? Yes. Is it going to be sacrificial? It might cost you some money. Yes. It's going to take time. But to say this is the heart of God and we want to do God's mission here in Hong Kong, can you imagine what would happen? I mean, these are just things that popped in my mind this morning. I was thinking, I believe that God, the Spirit of God, is going to speak to some of you so powerfully that somehow through this, your life group will be able to do something, not only do something, but possibly we might even start up ministries coming out of our church to meet the needs in this city and in this part of the world. And lastly, we want to encourage you to invite people to be part of our community. You know, part of showing God's love is not only just doing external things, but to really help them to see this community that loves one another deeply because they have been loved by God. So we want to encourage you, especially with the Thanksgiving outreach that's coming up, as we look ahead to December with the baptism. There are so many opportunities to invite people to our community to experience it. And through that, hopefully, even after some of the busyness of the Christmas and when we start this new year, some of them will be able to continue to come out to our community and experience the love of God. Let me close with this video. It's a story of Compassion International. Some of you are familiar with it. It's a child advocacy organization that tries to meet the poverty and the suffering of children around the world. It is a sponsorship program. Some of you have probably heard about it. Some of you might be Compassion International sponsors. But I want you to listen to the story. Because when I heard how it got started, I realized this is how God works. God in his heart is breaking for the things that are going around the world, and he just happens to take somebody. Sometimes it's just a nobody who no one knows about. Just takes somebody, places them in the middle or in the midst of something that's an injustice. And when that person is fully surrendered to God and say, God, here I am. This is your heart. It's breaking my heart. What is it that you want me to do? God then begins to speak. He puts things in our hearts. And that's how Compassion International got started and reaching millions and millions of children around the world. This is the heart of God. This is the justice of God, especially as we see injustices around the world. That's why we are called to make things right in order that we could shine brightly God's light around the world. So let's close with this. Let's stand together as we close. I'm wondering if God is speaking to us and asking us the same question. What are you going to do? What will HMCC of Hong Kong do? And as we stand before God, all I can say is that I think many of us can testify we have experienced so much of His goodness. Some of you come from a family that did not know God, but somehow He brought you to Hong Kong and you've found salvation by God's grace. Some of you, you've been going to church all your life, but until you came to Hong Kong and God awakened your soul and you realized Christianity is more than just going to church or a little ID card that says Christian. Now you have a genuine and personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you are forever grateful for. And the more I think about how good He has been to me, my family, just all our HMCC churches, by God's grace that He started, that we're reaching nations. All I know is that there's nothing that I have done. It was the work of God by His grace. And that's why, in view of His mercy, the only thing we can say is, God, here's my life. I want to become a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to You, for this is my spiritual act of worship unto You. We are this chosen generation to reach our generation. There are issues of injustice all over the world, and not just far away from us, but right here in our campus, in our workplace, in Hong Kong. And I'm just wondering if God is stirring our hearts and He's asking, what are You going to do? What are You going to do? And I'm wondering if some of us, as we intercede and pray for these things, God will speak to us. And we'll say, here I am, Lord. I want to answer that call. I'm praying that our church will not just be a church where we come to worship and just have good life group, but I want our church to make an impact in our lifetime, to reach our generation and to reach nations. I know that we all have different burdens, that God's going to speak to us about different things. But I pray that whatever it is that He speaks to you about, that you will obey. And we want to try to empower you. Let's partner together, find ways that we can actually do some things that will change the world for the glory of God. There are some of you in this room that have always looked around the world and saw all this injustice, and you're like, is God really good? Maybe that's the thing that hinders you from becoming a Christian. But I want to say, the reason why you feel what you feel is because there is a God and a standard that's perfect. But there's sin in this world, and we sin against each other. And the only way, the remedy for all this, is to look to the cross, to Jesus Christ and what He has done, and to humble yourself and realize, I am not God. And I don't fully understand You, God, but all I can say is that if You did that for me, that You sent Your one and only Son to come on this earth, to live the perfect life that I couldn't live, He died on the cross for my sins, then by faith this morning, I want to step out and say, I receive You as my Lord and Savior. You can do that this morning. Let's stop playing church. Let's stop coming to church and make a decision today to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ, can I challenge us? We're going to take this message, this gospel message, as a chosen generation to fight for the injustices that we see, so that we could bring God's justice, God's righteousness into this world. And we're going to do it not just by yourselves, but together as life groups, as a church, for the glory of God. Will you just pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for showing us Your heart and who You are. You are a God of justice. You are a God of righteousness. And You have shown us, Lord, what You require of us, what is good and what You require of us. Forgive us for making excuses, being so self-centered and living for ourselves and our little petty dreams. And we think about the world and everything that's going on. And though we might feel we're just one little voice, but Lord, when our voices are put together, it's going to be a loud roar that will echo out through the nations. So help us to become more like You, to know more of Your heart, so that we will be able to say, yes, we want to do Your will. Help us to, Lord, leverage justice, to love kindness, and to live humbly and to walk humbly before You. That's when we're going to be able to make things right, as we shine Your light in this dark world. Use us, Lord. Use our church. Use our life group. Can I just ask us, let's not pray this morning. It might sound kind of weird, but I want you to just listen. Sometimes we do a lot of talking, but God is like, I want you to listen. See what it is that He's dropping and speaking into your heart. And then as we listen, all you have to say is simply, God, just give me the grace and the strength to obey. I'm excited for what's going to come forth in our life groups as we intercede and
as we take the initiative to take those steps of faith and then even invite others to come and join our community to experience the love of God. So for the next minute or so, can we just quietly just listen to the voice of God? That you're laying in our hearts. You are the God of justice. You are good. You're great. And you have been so gracious. Just give us the privilege and the honor of making an impact in this world. Help us to live for something that is greater than our own little dreams that we have, our self-centered dreams. Aspiring to make a name for ourselves, making all this money. Lord, what good is it when we'll all die one day? But Lord, when we live for you and we live for your purpose, your kingdom will advance. And when we see you face to face one day, because we will all die one day, Lord, but when we see you face to face, we'll hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So for the sake of your glory and for the sake of this world and those who are lost, we offer ourselves to you now. Use us, Lord. Come on, let's make this our prayer as we close out with some of these songs together. Let's worship him.